Praise the Lord, we are. I am continuing the word. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll pray for her. We will pray for Mary Cardora, but we are continuing on the word of God. So, as you remember, we are going deep into the revelations of dreams. And I have almost covered most of the characteristics of dreams. Okay? The revelation and learnings from, especially from the dreams of Jacob. We saw the purpose of dreams. We saw so many things. We saw the route map, how his journey with God was orchestrated by he getting dreams. And what every dream meant in his life. And how it is significant. And how does God leads and speaks to people through dreams? We are on the subject called the cost of consecration. And the Bible says, in the last days, he shall pour out his spirit on all flesh, that our sons and daughters may prophesy. Young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. So we saw that there is a cost of consecration. We covered a lot about it. And we have to pay that cost for us to fit into the category. Old man does not mean 60 years above. It's not the physical age, it's the spiritual age. You can be 60, but in the spirit, you can be a 5 years old infant, a 3 year old infant. So the cost that you pay decides your spiritual age, where you fit into. And as per that, in the last days, you shall receive the portion of anointing, that you shall see dreams from the Lord, visions and words of prophecy. The young men are the strongest of all, and we will come to the visions, but we are on dreams. The difference between a dream and the vision is, dreams are the knowing of the Lord is in visions, and the hearing from the Lord is in dreams. We saw that in the book of Numbers from the scripture. Okay, any which ways. Right now we are done with the dreams of Jacob. Now that is not it. There is more about dreams. There is a lot to learn about dreams for you to understand how God speaks and leads and connects the dots through giving dreams to his children. Now, since we are done with Jacob's dreams, the next one is Joseph's dream. This man, Jacob, used to see dreams, and now his son, Joseph, goes on the same pathway. Hallelujah. Can we start tonight in Jesus' mighty name? Genesis 37. Let's start from Genesis 37. Verse number 1. We are starting off with Joseph's dream. Okay? It's a continuation of the learning of dreams. First, we learn from Jacob's dream many characteristics. I'm not going there. We have already covered. Now we are learning from Joseph's dreams. Genesis 37, verse number 1 onwards. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream. Now the journey begins. Dream. He had a what? Dream. And he told it to his brothers. And they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheave arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father. Now listen to this. To his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamt? Shall you and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" Now that is where someone caught the interpretation of it. The brothers were only getting jealous. Oh, we will. But Jacob got an interpretation of it that the whole family, how can our whole family bow down to this young man? Why did he got the interpretation? Because Jacob was already having dreams all his life. And he was a little bit experienced now how God leads to through dreams. Okay, any which ways. And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed the father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, now this is happening right after the dream. Right after Joseph dreamt these two dreams. After that, this is what happens in his life. That the father sends him to inquire what the brothers are doing. Are they doing the work properly into some valley in Shechem? Okay. Verse number 14. Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here. For I have heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Let us skip all those things. At last, they threw him in the pit. And verse number 24. Let's jump to verse number 24. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it, and they sat down to eat a meal, and they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Fast forward to verse number 36, the last verse. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. All right, now let's look at what does the dreams of Joseph teach us. What are the revelations from the dreams of Joseph? The first revelation that you have to understand is dreams push you into new seasons of life. Dreams push you into the new season of life. Why I wrote push you? Because it is not you who will to walk in that way. But when you are visited with dreams from the Lord, after having such kind of dreams from the Lord, what it does, it pushes you into the new seasons of life. Second thing, the second revelation. Dreams would reveal the great things that God has for you, but at the same time, it ushers you into the bitter process towards your destiny. Dreams would reveal to you the great things that God has for you, but at the same time, the kind of season it is pushing you into, it is ushering you into, it's the bitter process of moving towards your destiny. As soon as Joseph had that dream, what happened? The brothers conspired and he was taken out of the family. He went on a journey. Where did, now the significance is, where did he go on a journey? Where did the traders take him? Where? To Egypt. So he was sold in Egypt as a slave. Okay? Now there is something there. There are some transactions that were not settled by the grandfather, because of which this guy, young man Joseph, had to go to Egypt. There were some transactions that were not settled by the grandfather Abraham with Egypt. Remember all the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I covered the route maps, remember, in the last sermons. I covered the route maps, how Jacob went to the same place where Abraham came out of, Haran. Abraham got stuck in Haran. Jacob also went there, got stuck there for 20 years. The same things are happening. So Abraham, the reason why we call him the father of faith, is because he was the one who designed the journey, who laid the foundation of the journey of the coming generations. Now, there were some unsettled transactions that Abraham did, because of which Joseph had to go, had to be sold to the Egyptians. Stay with me. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay. Can you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 8? I want to know if I have NKJV version. Does someone has NIV or the Message Bible, Message Translation, or anything else? Anyone has that translation, NIV translation, or the Message translation of the Bible? Anyone here? If no, then I will try to bring it out. First, let me
change it to NIV.
NIV, change it. Okay. Sister K, do one thing for us. Change it to NIV. Mm-hmm. Because there are some words in the NIV. It's not that it's different, but it is giving us a more deeper interpretation when we go to the Message translation or NIV. And Genesis, read from Genesis chapter number 12 and read from verse 8 to 16. Read from verse 8 to 16.
Okay, here we go. There he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Continue?
Yeah, continue. Yes.
Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels.
That's it. So, NIV says that Abraham went to Egypt. Okay? The Bible says Abraham went to Egypt. Why he went to Egypt? There he set up an altar at Bethel. You know the significance of the altar at Bethel. That was the place of settlement for all the patriarchs. But Jacob did not understand. That was the place that Jacob saw the dream. There was the throne, the ladder to heaven in Bethel. And whichever place, listen to me. If you find If you find connection in some place where you are listening and God is speaking to you and God is revealing you the ways, that means the altar has been set up and that is the place of settlement. You stop there. You know it's God's will. When you go at a place and God starts to speak to you and you have you stop there. That is the presence of God. But Abraham did not stop at the place of prayer, at the altar of prayer, because there was a famine. Listen to me. When you set up an altar, now altar in the Old Testament was the altars of stone that they set up. In the New Testament, altar is a place where is the secret place where we build an unseen spiritual altar by praying and reading the word of the Lord. Okay? And when you have set up that altar and the altar is active by your devotion unto the Lord in that place, what starts to happen is the altar starts to conceive. There is a conception of the altar. The altar starts to conceive. What it conceives and gives birth to, it gives birth to the authority of the Lord. You are setting up a foreign altar in a demonic territory, in a territory, in a house, in a locality, in a family which is ruled by demonic spirits, which was given to demonic entities, and now you are setting up an altar of a God that is foreign to them, that is not the God of your ancestors. You are setting up an altar of that is communicating with the God that sits in third heaven. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. So what happens is, when you set up that altar, the altar births a authority, a power that is contrary to the surrounding powers where you are. And there is a fight, there is a clash as soon as you set up the altar. That's why many people experience attacks as soon as they go in the secret place to fast. They experience attacks in their life because you are going on the right track, because the authority is birthed which has started to fight with the powers of darkness in your house, in your territory.
Amen.
That's why Abraham was stuck with a famine. The problem was he was not trained enough now by the spirit of wisdom and revelation to stay there, to understand the famine has come because God is working. But he did not have the understanding. So what he did, he decided to escape the famine. When you build an altar, and after that, if you are struck by a famine or you are struck by some kinds of attacks, don't leave the altar. Stay there at the altar. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Don't leave the altar. Stay there at the altar. That is the characteristics that were passed on to Jacob, because he also used to leave the altar and go somewhere. So he left the altar because I want to escape famine. And he went where? To Egypt. Now, when he went to Egypt, what he did was, now, what was the promise? God will give a seed. Okay? In him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Where the seed will conceive from? From his wife, Sarai. Mm-hmm. In order to receive wealth, in order to receive money and property, he put his wife that was chosen by God, Sarai, on stake. There is a transaction that he's making. The Bible says, keeping Sarai in mind because she was beautiful, for her, the Egyptian and Pharaoh treated Abraham well. And then from Egypt, he acquired wealth. In other versions, in NIV, it says he acquired. In Message translation, I think it says Pharaoh gifted him those things. Stay with me. Are we together until now? Pharaoh gifted him? Pharaoh gifted him what? Verse number 16, sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. So Pharaoh gifted him. Be careful from whom you receive gifts. If Egypt, listen to me. If you are receiving gifts from Satan, You think, oh my God, Satan is a good guy. He's not asking back anything. He's just giving me gifts. I am telling you, he is giving you gifts at the same time he is keeping a record. He is not giving it you for free. He will take the price from you one day.
Amen. And hallelujah.
Are we understanding? I am trying to show you why some of you are taken to Egypt and you don't understand. Even after you have dreams and calling from the Lord, but your life is miserable. You have been thrown in the pit. You are been made a slave by people. You are accused by people. You have been put to prison. Why that is happening? Because the roots are in your bloodline. There is something that the ancestors took from Satan that they did not pay back. Now Satan is taking the cost of it from you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? Satan is taking the cost from you. I have been in ministry for quite some time and mostly praying for people. And several cases the Lord showed me. The reason why those people were stuck in Egypt and were not able to come out, because the grandfather or the great-grandfather took wealth from certain deities and altars, because they were suffering and they took wealth from certain deities and altars, and those transactions were not settled by them, the curse of which is coming on the person now. Are we understanding? Stay with me. So Abraham went there and he gave Sarai. He put Sarai's purity, holiness, virginity at stake and acquired wealth. Abraham acquired wealth. But God was protecting Sarai and God plagued Pharaoh and Egypt because of Sarai. Okay? Then it says verse number 17. We are on Genesis 12 verse 17. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So Pharaoh, he let him take all the wealth that Pharaoh gifted him, and he sent him away quickly. So Sarai, whom they took to give Abraham security and wealth, Sarai came back to Abraham and the accounts were not settled with Egypt. And he came back. Genesis 13, it says, verse number 2, Abraham was rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. Now that richness was not from God. That richness was from Egypt. And we don't want to get rich by Egypt. We don't want to get rich by Satan's gifts. Because he keeps a record. Now, are we together on it? Now, do you understand why Joseph now is journeying to Egypt and becoming a slave? Now, stay with me. Let me give you some revelations. Joseph's journey to Egypt shows that Satan is the one who keeps a record and never offers or gives anything for free. I'm telling you, this Satan, he maintains a record of everything. If he gives you, if you receive from him anything, you think, oh, I don't have to pay. We can say it's like a credit card. You know, they say sin is like a credit card, but even Satan gives gifts. It's like a credit card. And this, it's not, the due date is not after 1 month. It may be in your next generation and they have to pay a big interest amount. A big interest amount that you have taken. Are we understanding? Tonight, God is going to deliver some of the people from those ancestral transactions in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I know ancestors who have sold their children because they wanted some money. They wanted some wealth. They wanted something from the altar. And you are born, you accept Christ, you don't even know what happened in your ancestral records. Until and unless you start to seek God and get tuned with His presence, and God starts to reveal to you those things. I know how many transactions my ancestors have done because God revealed it to me, so much to me about it. How many transactions they have done which was unsettled because of which I struggled so much. I struggled so much. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Satan keeps a record of everything. Satan keeps a record of everything. And when time comes, he will have you pay back those things. He will have your generations that come from you pay back those things, because he is the one who keeps a record of everything. He does not offer anything for free. So Genesis chapter number 12, verse 8 to 16, that is where the grandfather Abraham diverted from his prayer altar, went to Egypt, gave his wife to the Egyptians, and acquired wealth from Pharaoh. Now the grandson lands up in the same place, in slavery to the Egyptians. Okay, the grandson lands up in the same place, in slavery to the Egyptians. But the revelation is the prophecy that I want to give you, what the Lord is going to do. But the Lord will break the pride of Egypt to show Egypt that Egypt is the one, God is the one who feeds Egypt. God is going to break the pride of this satanic principalities and show to Egypt that God himself is the one that feeds Egypt.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is the owner of Egypt. And that is what Joseph became. Egypt thought, oh, we will make you settle the accounts that your grandfather had taken from us. But what did Joseph become? By the anointing of God, he became the one who fed Egypt.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I decree and declare that you will become the one who will start to feed Egypt. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. That is the plan of God. To strip apart the pride of Satan. God cannot bear that God cannot bear the sayings of Satan when Satan says, oh, God, your children are indebted to me. God cannot take that in. He will break the pride of Satan. But what you have to do is you have to walk with God, walk in His word, and be faithful to Him, so that He can use you as an instrument to break the pride of Satan down and to break the limitations which were set by your ancestors.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Dreams. Okay. Hallelujah. Dreams would reveal the great things, but at the same time, it ushers you into the bitter process towards your destiny. Okay. Joseph saw that they will bow down. Another thing about Joseph's dream is, the initial dreams will reveal to you a part of the destiny, but you don't know the whole destiny of it. You don't know the whole picture of it. You will know the whole picture of it when you keep the records of those dreams in your spirit. Okay, or on paper and in your spirit. And when the dreams come to pass, you will be able to understand the whole picture of it. Because I told you my story, how the Lord encountered me with the revelation of this sheaves bowing down. So I happened to take up a fast and I went away from my house, booked a place, and I started to spend time with the Lord. On the first day itself, there was a small balcony kind of, and I saw people down there in the farms taking sheaves. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, Rahul, what do you remember from those sheaves? I said, the sheaves of the Joseph's brother and the sheave of Joseph that stood. And the others fell and bowed down to Joseph's sheave. He said, yes. But he told me something. He told me, Joseph only thought that his destiny is that the family will bow down to him. But he did not know that I will make the whole world come to him and bow down to him. That was the whole picture. Joseph did not know that. That, and based on that first day word, I did not understand why the Holy Spirit is telling me those things. I just wrote it down. And on the third day, when the Lord encountered me, he was speaking to me in a deep way. And he was trying to make me understand that, Raul, you think that you will minister just few, but he made me look at the sky on the third day. And he said, what do you see? I said, I see the sky. He said, the sky covers the earth. So shall my influence through you cover the earth. And I fell down on the ground and I cried, because, hallelujah, sometimes we have the understanding of the smaller revelation. We don't see the bigger picture. We can only see the biggest picture when we wait upon him and when we are just at his feet. Hallelujah. Okay, any which ways, that is what Joseph's mentality was. So the initial dreams that come to you will not, you think, oh, I have started to see dreams, that's it, I am going. No. You have to make a deep walk with the Lord and hear him, so that he will continue to show you the bigger picture that you have not yet understood by your first dreams. You have to continue to keep a record of the words of revelation that God speaks to you specifically for your personal journey with him. Okay, so we are done with 2 points. The second was dream usher you into the bitter process. The third point is interpretation of dreams are with those who walk faithfully with God in holiness and consecration. Everyone cannot interpret dreams. Interpretation of dreams are only with those who walk faithfully with God in holiness and consecration. Okay, now the elaboration of it, of this point, will come in the next series, in the next department, which is how to interpret dreams. I will come to that. So, but as of now, just learn this point from the dream of Joseph. Joseph was able to interpret dreams because he was walking faithfully with God in holiness and in consecration, a consecrated life unto the Lord. Okay, he did not make himself impure, unholy, even though Potiphar's wife came to and was asking him or forcing him to lie with her. He did not commit any fornication with her. And also, we don't see Joseph asking any questions to the Lord. Lord, why, Lord, and why did you put me in the pit, and why did you put me in the prison? He never asked any questions to the Lord. That is faithfulness. You never question the Lord. You just submit and surrender to him in every situation that he places you. That is faithfulness. Only such kind of people can interpret dreams. I'm telling you, interpreting dreams is not children's thing. It's a high consecrated gift of interpreting dreams. Everyone cannot interpret dreams. We will come to that. Amen. how to interpret dreams. Okay, we'll come to that. Point number four and five, we have to go to some scriptures and see other dreams in Joseph's lifetime. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 40. Verse number 5 to 23. Genesis chapter number 40, verse number 5 to 23. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. Okay, both of them had dreams and each one had a different interpretation. That is one of the ways of interpreting dreams. For interpreting dreams, I cannot create a rule book or like a theoretical book. No one can create it. I know many people have books how to interpret dreams. With all due respect, I want to tell you, don't read it. No one can teach you how to interpret dreams. If let's say we are 10 people or whatever people are here, we are 10 people here, each one of us get dreams, and there are some objects or the things in dreams are similar. That does not mean the meaning is similar. It's the mystery of the Holy Spirit which will be unique and different to each one of you for each one of your dream. So no one can create a rule book or a theory book for how to interpret dreams. We will come to that. There is a way to teach people of how to interpret dreams, which is not theoretical, which is seeking someone who can show you what it means. So both had dreams in the same night, and the dreams were also similar, but each one had its own meaning, own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Okay? So anyone saying that I am the one who interprets dream, he's a sorcerer. Because after covering many points, I will come to demonic dreams also. There we will see diviners and sorcerers having dreams and interpreting dreams. But here, the one who really interprets dreams from the Spirit of God will say, the interpretation of dream does not come from me. I have to ask God. Only God can reveal it to me. Okay? Does not the interpretation of dreams belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it, "The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler." So he gave the interpretation to him. "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me and make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it, the three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Okay, so those were the dreams. The fourth point that I want to give you is, God decides the destiny of the unbelievers. God even hallelujah. Though your neighbor is a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever, but they don't know it is our God who decides their destiny. Do you believe that? Our God is in control of everyone. He decides the destiny of the unbelievers. God decides. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. God decides the destiny of the unbelievers, and dreams are the evidence of the same. Sometimes unbelievers have dreams in which our God is speaking to those unbelievers. Hallelujah. Haven't so many Muslims have come to Christ and they have become radical Christians? Not because someone preached to them, but God visited them in their dreams. Hallelujah. God looks upon all flesh. He is the God of all flesh. You know? Hallelujah. And that becomes evident when he visits unbelievers with dreams. And the interpretation only lies with God, and to whom God wants to reveal the interpretation to his faithful faithful servants. Hallelujah. Okay, any which ways. That was the fourth point about dreams of Joseph. The fifth point about the dreams of Joseph is in Genesis 41. I don't have time to go there, but Genesis 41 is the chapter where Pharaoh dreamt. The seven lean cows, the seven fatted cows, you know. And then Joseph interpreted those dreams that there will be 7 years of abundance. And the dream came to him two times. When the same dream comes to you two times, that means God is confirming something to you in the spirit realm. I know about a man, a servant of God. And I forgot, but he dreamt in a dream that a dog came and bit him. But he ignored that dream. The next week, again, he dreamt that a dog came and bit him. He again ignored the dream. Again, he saw, I think 3 to 4 times, he saw the dog is coming and biting him. 3 to 4 times, he ignored it. And one day, really, the dog came and bit him. And he died because of the dog bite. When the same things come to you again and again, you need to lock yourself in a room and start to pray. Because God is trying to speak to you something. Hallelujah. Many times the enemy wants to kill you, but God will show you before he wants to kill you. God will show you because God does not want you to die. But the enemy is working full time for you to die. So God will show you certainly through dreams. It happened with me. I think I told you my story. It happened with me in 2021. I had the same dream, and every dream it was about my car accident. And God was giving me glimpses of what will happen, what will happen, what will happen, what will happen. The first dream I saw, I started to pray. I got the next dream. The second dream I saw, I started to pray, I got the next dream, the third dream. So it was a way of escape. And when it really happened, the impact was negligible. I mean, I did not got any hurt, but even my car had got negligible damages. Because God speaks through dreams. And he saves us and alarms of the coming attacks of the enemy through that is coming to us, and he exposes it through dreams. But whatever. Genesis 41 is God giving two dreams to Pharaoh, which mean the same thing. 7 years of abundance, 7 years of famine. What does that mean? We will not go into that, into the details of it. We don't have time. But Genesis 41, the dream of Pharaoh, what does that signify? It signifies that God plans, controls, and decides the destiny of heathen kingdoms. God plans, controls, and decides the destiny of heathen kingdoms. Pharaoh thinks he is in control. He is God over all Egypt. Ha! You are nothing. It is God who decides in the throne room what he will do with your Egypt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And no one can stop the hand of God. And if you did not have a servant of God, Joseph, Egypt would have been destroyed in famine. Egypt would have been destroyed with famine. So you, Egypt, you are trying to make the child of God, the servant of God, pay for the ancestral's records. But God will show you that he is your owner and he is the one who will feed you. And you cannot pay God back for what he gives you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We know Joseph interpreted the dream. That no sorcerers, that is one of the things, dreams that come from the Lord, no sorcerers, diviners can interpret those dreams because God is the one who controls and decides the destiny of heathen kingdom. The same thing happened with Nebuchadnezzar. No one could interpret it until he found Daniel, in whom is the spirit of the living God. For Pharaoh, no one could interpret for him until he found Joseph, in whom is the spirit of the living God. You might be struggling for a long season in your life, but do not worry. God will lift you up and make you a solution to the crisis in Egypt. He will lift you up in due time, even as you wait on him. Just wait on him. Just wait on him. Hallelujah. Amen. Christians have become so impatient that our prayers have got manipulated. Nowadays, I don't see the prayers where they wait on the Lord. What I see is, I call in my finances. I call in those people. I call in my car. I call in my house. I call in this. Lord, I call in your presence. Lord, I call you. That is not biblical, and that is not even spiritually ethical. Do you know that? Witches call in demons. It's witchcraft. It's wizardry. They call in this. They call in that. But the Lord that we serve, we cannot make him call in things, bring in things for us and put it on the table. He is a king spirit. He is the king. Do you know that? He is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. What happens when you go before a king? Do you say, oh king, do this for me. Oh king, bring me my money. Oh king, bring me my finances. Oh king, bring me my destiny helpers. Bring me this, bring. No, you cannot do that with a king. He will execute you. When you go before a king, what you do is wait upon the king. Wait upon the king, because it's not in your hands to make things happen. It is as per the king's will. When the king will get up from his throne and pass the orders. It depends on the king. You just have to wait the king. Remember the book of Esther? Esther feared to go before the king. That is how a king functions. That is how the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords function. So believers don't realize that. And the prayers that they are doing is not prayers led by the Holy Spirit. It's prayers led by witches and demons, where they are so impatient that they want to make things happen. They go to those ministries. Why? Which ministries they find to go to? The ministries where people get their breakthrough fast. Oh, sister, I went to that prophet, and as soon as I went to the prophet, I got my job, I got my car. You also go and join their prayer. When you go and join their prayer, you will see them calling in things at 4 a.m. in the morning. I call in my job. I call in, I receive, I receive, I receive. I call, I call, I call, I call. That is demonic prayers. Demonic prayers, I'm telling you. In the kingdom of the Lord, you wait on the Lord. And you don't know when he will show up. It's his will. When he will show up, he will make all things new. When he will show up. But you have to wait. You have to wait. Joseph waited for a long time. People cannot wait nowadays. We have to wait on the Lord. Even for the word of the Lord, we have to wait. We have to wait. We have to wait. We have to wait. When he arises, when he shows up, he will perform what his will is at his time. Do we understand that? God plans, controls, and decides the destiny of heathen kingdoms. Dreams show that the sovereign decision, meaning only is with God and to whom God wants to reveal. That is what dreams show, that the destiny of kingdoms, even the destiny of a kingdom like Babylon, powerful one. Egypt was the most powerful kingdom. Babylon, most powerful kingdom. God controls it. God makes the decisions for it. God is in control of it. And he reveals it through dreams. People of God, we want people who can interpret dreams in the kingdom of God. We want people who can walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So those were the dreams of Joseph. Okay, there are more points. There is one more point. The next point is Genesis chapter number 42, verse number 9. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 42, verse number 9. Genesis chapter number 42, verse number 9. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. Okay, 42, verse number 8 also. Let's start from verse number 8. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. But Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed. So what does that teach us? Joseph remembered the dreams years back that he had saw at the age of 17. Now, I think he's in his 30s when he's in Egypt. Those were in his teenage years that he saw that dream. And when he saw the brothers coming, he recognized them. And what the Bible says? He remembered the dreams. So Joseph remembered the dreams years back, and he could discern the current happenings in his life because he stored those dreams in his spirit and made a record of it. Make a record of your dreams, beloved. Why I am saying that? Because some dreams cannot be interpreted as soon as it comes to you. Some dreams would not be interpreted after 1 week of prayer and fasting. God will not reveal some dreams to you. The interpretation of those dreams are connected to some happenings in your life which will happen after 10 years, after 12 years. And when it happens, because you have a record of it, you discern that you are in which season. And you rejoice to know that God is not a liar like man. He is the one who fulfills his promise when he gives it to people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Make a record of your dreams. Don't be, hallelujah. People have got very, very lazy and casual and anxious, impatient. Make a record. Whenever you have a dream, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, this is an important one. Okay? Some dreams are wavered, but when a dream hits you from God, and very important one that needs to be recorded, the Holy Spirit will tell you, record this one in your spirit or in a diary. I mean, I have diaries, I don't know, many diaries stored, in which my whatever I have wrote, the dreams and the revelations are all in those diaries. I have kept it. Make a record of those things. Make a record of those things in the spirit. Okay, do we understand that? Joseph remembered that dream when he saw his brothers coming, because he was the one who was serious with the speakings of God through dreams. All right, then I want to come to an important part, but before that, I want to come to the dreams of Joseph of the New Testament. Who was the Joseph of the New Testament? The earthly father of Jesus Christ. Okay. The earthly father of Jesus Christ. So we are done with the dreams of the Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph. Let's come to the New Testament now. The dreams of Joseph in the New Testament. Matthew's chapter number 1, verse number 20 to 23. Matthew's chapter number 1, verse number 20 to 23. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Okay, so even Joseph was going to divorce Mary, but the angel of God came to Joseph in a dream and spoke to him it's conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, and that is the Savior that will be born, Jesus. Then another verse, Matthew's chapter number 2, verse 13. Matthew's 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Okay, before the enemy comes to destroy or kill you, or the seed of God, he was warned in a dream to get out of that place. Hallelujah. Though Satan wants to kill God's children, but if you are walking in the presence of God, he will always make a fool of Satan. He comes for you and he does not find you there, because God already showed you that he is coming. That is why dream is one of the powerful gifts that you should have. Hallelujah. It will keep you alive till the time you are done with serving the purposes of God. It will keep you alive. Hallelujah. If you have that anointing, the last days anointings, Dreams, I'm telling you, it's a powerful gift. It will keep you alive. It will keep you alive. I mean,
hallelujah.
I got a deeper level of this. I'm not boasting, but just for the sake of teaching, I got this unusual gift of dreams where I started to, because my assignment is in ministry. And if someone is going to do something with me, you know, I would have dreams about what they are speaking in their bedroom, what they are discussing about me. I would have dreams. And that is by selection of God, by the grace of God. And I know what they are going to do. They would not show me on the face, but I know, I remember, let me tell you this. I was going there at a place and ministering, and many people started to come there. Then what happened is, by that ministering, people not only in that locality, but from other cities and states wanted to come in. But this, I was not building my ministry. I was trying to help a pastor there. Okay. But the pastor was like, I don't want those people to come. I don't like that city. I don't like that state. Discrimination and all those things. I don't like this. I don't like that. He started to reject things. And slowly, what happened was, people stopped coming. We should be very, very careful of what we speak. Any which ways, people stopped coming from there. And I would go, and I had to travel. I had to pay the cost of going there, coming back. And what the pastor will do is just sit there and collect money. And I would not even ask anything from him for going there, coming back. It was a 1.5 hour drive to go there, 1.5 hour drive to come back. And my whole one day would go. I will start off in the early morning. I will come back. And what he will do is collect money. And then when I'm doing other ministries and other places, he wants to poke his nose in those things also. So he just wanted to control things. He just wanted to know what I'm doing, like a Pharaoh. And I recognize when the time came, God gave him time. And the reason why God placed him with me, because God wanted to deliver him. One day he came and he called me and he said, oh, I wanted to tell you something. I said, tell me what? He said, God came to me in my dream and God told me, listen to Rahul. And he went away. I said, okay, that's good. So you should realize what you should do. That's all I told him. But even after that, his rebellion, his pride, he could not put it down. God came to him in his dream and told him, listen, I am a person who will not force anyone. I will not even tell people, submit to me, stay under me, do this for me. I will never tell that to anyone. In my whole ministry, those people who know me from yours, I have never told anyone, forced anyone. God is the one who will come and tell you, stay under that person. I know a lady who was here and she left now. She disappeared without telling me. God told her so many times. God even came in one of her dreams and she told me. And God told her, this man is a shepherd after my own heart. You need to stay under him. And she came to me and told me. Why God tells them those things is because they are volatile people. They want to get out. That's why God gives them warnings and dreams. But they did not stay. They went out. So any which ways, this pastor, God even told him to stay under me, to listen to me. But he will be like, I am the boss. And when the time came for, you know, God understood that this guy is rebellious, I need to remove him from my servant's life. I had a series of dreams for around 1 month. Every week I will have 2 dreams about what he's talking, how he's conspiring, what he wants to do. And all the funds that came, and he was conspiring and he was doing everything. And I told Lord, I will not touch anything of those. And he left in a very bad way. He was trying to find faults, but he could not find any fault for months to speak against me. So at last, in a very unusual and weird way, he left by himself, by his own fault. He left and he never responded back, and he acquired all the funds. I can say, God, why did that happen? And I can go and fight with him. I don't want to touch his money, the money there. Because that is how Joseph functioned. Whatever he went through, even people betrayed him, he did not waste his time fighting with them, doing court cases with them. No. We are not called for those things. Leave them if they are going. They want to take the money, whatever money, take it. Do whatever you want with it. You continue in the presence of God, knowing that God is the one who will bless you. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? So what I'm trying to show you is, even when people conspire against you, God can show you in your dreams. God can show you because he showed me. That is one instance. I have went through many season, transition of seasons. God, and when there is a transition of season, I am bombarded with dreams about those people. When they come to me, and I will never say to them that I know about them, but they come to me, I know what is going behind the veil. I know what is going behind my back, but I will never react to it. I will never show as if I know. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Jesus entered that room and he sat at the table, and Jesus said, there is someone who will betray me. It is not Peter who gossiped to Jesus. Jesus knew by the Spirit of the Lord, by revelation, that someone is conspiring behind my back. He knew who he was and he said it. Do we understand those things? So when Herod wanted to kill Jesus, God exposed the enemy. God will expose the enemy through dreams. Matthew 2:19. Now when Herod was dead, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, you don't have to switch on your TV to see the news channel, whether Herod died or not. The Holy Spirit will come before the news channel and tell you in the dream. The Lord will come. The angel will come again before the news that the world does not know, you will know. Because you are blessed with the anointing for dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. God directs you in the dreams to protect you from the enemy. God will direct you in the dreams to protect you from the enemy. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to go, but I will go on Sunday night, which is very, very important. Interpretation of dreams. Interpretation of dreams. After that is a very important topic. After interpretation of dreams, we will go to the demonic dreams. Okay. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to ask you tonight. I want to ask you tonight for the people who are listening to this message. Lord, some of them don't know why they are there in Egypt, why they are stuck in the same place, why they are struggling from so many years. I pray that you will expose the transactions of the ancestors in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You will expose the transactions of the ancestors in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, unknown to them, wherever they are sold, Lord. Lord, that transaction be broken tonight by the highest value of currency in the realm of the spirit, that is the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, break, Lord, that hold, break that covenant, break that claim of the Egypt upon your children in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray the Egypt which exploits them, which tells them you are a slave, which insults them, which brings reproach upon them. Lord, I pray that they will stay with you. They will stay the course. They will be in the place of prayer and in your presence and wait on you till the time you raise them to feed the same Egypt. You raise them to feed the same people who reproach them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we cannot promote ourselves by our own strength. We don't have any gifts or qualities with which we can be promoted, Lord. Oh Lord, only, oh God, when your time comes, only you can lift us up before people. Oh soul, Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you that you will lift us up, Lord, not for our glory, but for your glory, that Egypt may may know it is the God of heaven that feeds them, and the pride of Satan will be broken. Oh Father, many of your children are limited by ancestral limits. Lord, many of your children, Lord, are not having dreams from you because they are in locations where there are no altars set up to communicate with you. Father, I pray that you will lead them into that secret place to build up altars unto the Lord. Oh Lord, that your authority, Lord, Father, will be manifested in their life, in their family, in that house, in their houses, that every ancestral spirit, Lord, will be brought down, every territorial spirits, Lord, holding them captive will be brought down in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to me. You need to build up an altar. I am talking about a spiritual altar. Spend time with God in word and prayer and build that spiritual altar unto the Lord. The reason for some of you, no one is listening to you. Your relationships are not good because you have not developed authority and a rank to fight against your household spirits. That's why your household spirit have the authority to oppress you and torment you. Some of you, you are called by God, but you are limited to your own locality. The reason your voice is not going to the nations is because you have not built up an altar and an authority strong enough to defeat the territorial spirits of your own territory. When you will defeat that, when they will bow down to you, they will leave your voice and it will go to the nations of the world. When you will defeat those household demons, oh Reba Lakazia, by waiting on the Lord, by seeking the Lord, Reba Kazial Tarabaraba, those household demons will be defeated, and you will see your family members listening to you, to the voice of God coming through you. But for that, you have to first consecrate yourself. You have to walk in holiness. You have to walk in repentance. Oh, and in a clear conscience before the Lord, and set up an altar unto the Lord and continue to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your voice will have authority. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. You see, Joseph, once upon a time, whatever he was speaking, the brothers were making fun of him. Oh, you are this, you are a small kid. Do you think you will reign over us? Insulting him and exploiting him. But you see now, the same Joseph, when he speaks, the brothers obey. What happened there? This is not the same Joseph with the earlier authority. His authority is increased. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, listen to me. What did the father of Joseph give to Joseph? The coats of many colors, okay? To show that he is the favorite child. But still, he was oppressed. What I want to tell you is, the approval and recognition of men cannot give you authority. The approval and recognition of men. You think, oh, that is a high pastor, I will be under him, his approval. By his approval, I will do ministry. No. Nothing will happen. You have to work on your own anointing. Hallelujah. The coat of many colors was just a token of love from the Father, approval of the Father. But the real authority will come from your Heavenly Father when you walk with that Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. The voice of Joseph will change in Jesus' name. I decree and declare the voice of Joseph will change in Jesus' name. The same people insulting your voice will now bow down to the voice that comes from your mouth. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Walk with the Lord. Beloved, wait on the Lord. Be faithful unto him and he will give you authority. Authority to your voice. That authority will never come from the approval of people. That authority will never come from having money. It will come from the Lord when he approves you and when you walk with him in Jesus' mighty name. Father, Lord, I pray, open the eyes of people that they will know, Lord, hallelujah, your ways, Father, and walk in it in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we pray, Lord, continue to lead us in the coming meetings, in the prayer meeting, in the coming revival meetings, Father. Lord, that you will teach us, Lord, the interpretation of dreams and the coming subjects that are coming, Lord, and empower your people, Lord, hallelujah, with power, with anointing, with your character, with your nature, in Jesus' name, that we will be more like Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, that we ought to walk as Jesus walked on this earth. Give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and we all shout amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.